Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
You're listening to The V-Show on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, in for Bob Valvano, it's Jeff Greer.
Back here at the Stony Brook Kroger as part of our Cram the Van annual event with ESPN Louisville. We've got some focus here. We've got a chance for people to come by, drop off a donation, say hello. And I've just been told we've got a signed guitar here, and I hope that I'm saying this correctly, because if not, I'm going to get punted to the moon. I believe it is a signed Kenny Chesney guitar.
It is.
Could be wrong.
Okay. You are correct.
Okay.
It is a signed Kenny Chesney.
I don't want to get shot into the sun. Yeah, it is a signed Kenny Chesney guitar. I won't tell you where it is, but it is signed by Kenny Chesney, and you can enter with a chance to win this guitar by making a donation today as part of the Cram the Van with Toys movement. We're doing it every year, and every year seems to top the previous year, and it's really awesome to even be a part of it. The work that Drew and everybody puts into it is super fun and really for a great cause, and of course it goes to something that is all near and dear to our hearts. It's to help the holidays be special for people in need. All the money here goes to the Wayside Christian Mission, the Salvation Army, and St. Vincent de Paul. And of course you can keep on donating. We'll be here up until 6 o'clock. You can find us online as well on the GoFundMe. Just search Cram the Van on GoFundMe.com, or you can just go to ESPN Louisville.com or find us on our various social media accounts at ESPN 680. I retweeted the link. Nick retweeted the link. Everybody's been retweeting the way that you can donate. If you want to do it the old-fashioned way on the phone, you can call in 593-5662. The phone number, 593-5662. You can also Venmo St. Vincent de Paul at SVDP Lou on Venmo, and make sure you're looking at the business side of that app to make sure that you can find them in the search, or you can just come by Kroger here and donate in person, of course. We'll take all the money we raise and let the charity spend it on Wednesday so they can cram a Sternberg van and truck full of toys and clothes, and that's all day here live from Kroger until 6 o'clock in Stony Brook with Focus Caffeinated Sparkling Water. They've got it all set up here, so if you're in need of a caffeine punch or want to have some for, I don't know, future use of some kind, come on by, grab a delicious Focus, make a donation. You can pick up $5 off for Kroger as well. So really fun day, and of course, as I said, you can be part of the drawing to win a signed Kenny Chesney guitar. It is a big day for Louisville women's basketball. They are back in action tonight as the Cards host number 12 Michigan. We had Jeff Walls on the show earlier today. Super fun, as always, talking to him. The guy just eats, sleeps, and breathes hoops, as you would expect. So it was fun to catch up with him. ESPN Louisville features the only post-game call-in show for Jeff Walls' top 10 team. Join Dave Skull and Chrissy Banta around 9 as they take your calls and texts and hear live from Jeff Walls in the post-game, all on 93.9 The Ville and the ESPN Louisville app. And, of course, it is a big Soccer City episode tonight as well. Louisville City starting to announce some roster changes. is. We'll talk more about that coming up at 6 o'clock on ESPN Louisville 680 and 105.7.
Last one of the season, right?
Last one of the season. We're putting a bow on it. There's so much to talk about. It's going to be me, Casey Whitfield, Lance McGarvey, Jason Entz. We're thinking we may have Brad Estes join us.
We're going to try to get him on,
talk about some stuff. I want to mention this here because we're going to talk more about it on Soccer City Radio, but just real quick, there's been a lot of people messaging me with concern that some big names are not on the initial release about re-signing contracts or sticking around, and I would just say, hold on, there's going to be more announcements here. They're not done working on all this stuff. They're also working on bringing possible new additions as well, as you would expect any team to when there's roster turnover. So don't get too worried just yet. There's going to be a lot of different changes coming up with this Lou City team as well as Racing Louisville. By the way, tonight, Thursday night football, Cowboys-Saints, 8 p.m. on all ESPN Louisville stations. 93.9, of course, is breaking away for the postgame show of Louisville women's basketball, but 680 is going to keep Thursday night football, Cowboys-Saints. Well, Nick, I want to talk to you about football here because we kind of touched on it earlier, and I wanted to talk first and foremost. What's that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Focus Mint. It's a new Focus Mint I'm enjoying right now. I meant to crack it on the air because, you know, little ASMR action. But, yeah, I want to give a shout-out to our friends at Focus for everything they've been doing with Cram the Van today. But also, I was thirsty, and I figured, you know, it'd be a perfect time.
You really could have done that, like, 5 minutes ago when I was still
talking. Well, I didn't want to interrupt you. And also, we had...
Now you're doing it while I'm about to transition
well,
into football.
Well, just
so
every...
Really just classic Nicky Valvano. Just cannonball into the deep end. And is it a candy bar or is it a deuce floating in the deep end? Because you just jumped in there.
Wow. I get in trouble for bringing up poop jokes and everything like that, and that was all you, Jeffrey.
Hey, that's a famous movie scene.
I'm a big fan of Caddyshack. But no, I just want to remind everyone.
That
you can grab a Focus. You can grab a Focus Mint. It's fantastic.
Focus. There's Focus here.
I wanted people to hear firsthand. You can't drink it on the air.
You wanted to hear yourself
because you care. You care about your brand. Like I was going to take a big, loud. ASMR-esque slurp. So I wanted to do that. But the reason I was cracking a Focus, in addition to it being delicious, was also because I was a little thirsty because I was knocking back some wings. So I want to thank Adam and his staff for dropping off Wings on Catering to the ESPN Louisville Studios. You get to enjoy all the benefits of the Focus and the fine people out there at Kroger. We back at the station got to enjoy some wings, and they can cover you this weekend. All the football, all the basketball, they got you covered. Try the ESPN Louisville special, 10 boneless wings, wedges, and a drink for $9.39. Good every day that ends. And why? That's all seven of them. Just mention ESPN Louisville. Order online, wingzone.com. They got two Louisville locations. One at Hikes Point, and the second one is at Poplar Level Road. That location is at Quarry Center. So shout out to Adam and the crew for some delicious, delicious Wingzone. Pops, by the way, he's back from East Lansing. Popped by the studio real fast. Said hello. Recorded a little something that I might be able to play a little later on in the show, because you know.
Is it his thoughts on the game last night?
Well, you know he had a very very small window. He was bringing somebody back to the airport actually, so
okay.
He only had about a minute, and I got him to record something else that that might be a little bit more. You know, important, and I'll play that a little later. But no, you're going to ask me a football question.
Let's plan on the air. We'll plan. When we come back from break, you just play at 2:30. Just play what your dad had to say. It was a big night on ESPN. I mean,
It's not a basketball thing, is what I'm saying. Though if you give me 20 seconds, I can mix it down right now. But it was just a little reminder for everyone to go Cram the Van. That's what it was.
Ah, okay. Yeah, well, I love that. Well, then it's perfect for him to for you to play that as soon as they come back, as soon as we come back from break. That's perfect.
There we go. Yeah,
Nick, I want to give you a little Valvano, we'll call it a side hug, a little bro hug here over
Aww.
The year. Because, look, I have, you know that I've known your dad now for 8 years from previously covering Louisville, and I know I've told people this story before. before, and we're getting sidetracked here, but it's a very important sidetrack. I always enjoyed the chance to go sit down along wherever they were sitting with Paul Rogers and your dad, and just kind of chop it up for a few minutes every single time there was a road game. I always made sure to go say hello and always talk to them in the media room, of course, too, and just have a great affinity for your dad and Paul. Lovely people, and you know, it's been, I know, a really difficult year for your family, having to go through everything that your dad is dealing with cancer, but it's been amazing, absolutely amazing, to see someone who is so positive and so uplifting. And last night, ESPN focused on your dad. It sounds like you missed that. Hopefully,
I need to go back and watch it. Yeah, sadly, I was driving back from the studio. Jack and I watched the first half together, but I was driving back to the back to my house, and I missed that first part.
Well, I have the video of the second half. I'll send it to you so that you can have it. In fact, why don't I cut it up? I have the video from last night's game. I have a site where I can get all the videos off for the games and cut them up and make GIFs and stuff. I'm going to send you this clip because it was really touching to see your dad on camera and to hear them talking about it. And I got to say, I mean, there is no room in my life for Dickie V's slander. And the dude has been through a battle of his own now with cancer and is still fighting. And to see him emotional is just crushing. I mean, it is crushing, but he is just so positive that it kind of just inspires you while also making you sad at the same time. And to see such powerful people who have such positive messages talking about the V Foundation as well was fantastic. And I know it's a big week for ESPN and for the family, so it was really touching that they mentioned your dad last night. It was great to see Dickie V just be himself and just be on camera where he belongs. And man, he is so powerful. But between those two guys, it's just always so touching to see them and hear them talking about something that is so important to them. So I wanted to make sure I mentioned that, Nick, because it was a super cool moment last night to hear Jay Billis and them talking about your pops and getting him on camera. He's looking full of life, man. He looks like he's ready for the holiday season.
Oh, yeah, man.
He's resplendent. So it was nice to see him.
It's a great adjective.
A nice little hat tip to him. So I'll send you that clip.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that. And thanks for the kind words. Yeah, man.
Big fan of the Valvano family.
I still act like a little kid sometimes.
Mostly Jamie and your dad and your mom and all the other people in your family except for you. But also you.
Thanks. Thank you. No, like I was watching with Jack yesterday, and we were both like little kids. And every time Pops came on the screen, we were like, "Hi, Pops!" You know, we'd wave. And
well, he was close to the camera, was he not? He was close to the broadcaster camera.
Yeah. He was. Yeah. So he was in frame a lot. So it'd be like, "Hi, Pops. Hi, Paul. Hi, Paul and Pops." You know, there was a whole lot of that. The first half, Jack and I. So that was a good time. But yeah, thanks for the kind words, man.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I want to talk to you about football because you know something that has been a change in my life, and people don't really care about this, but when you're the beat writer of a school, you're covering two sports, and you're just exhausted by March. And when it finally was proposed to me that I only cover basketball and help out on football, it was a huge relief, not because I have a distaste. I think people think I don't like football. I love football. I don't like covering football. And so I kind of unplugged from the program. So unfortunately, I don't have great insight into what might be going on behind the scenes. But I got to say, there is a vibe right now. There is a vibe that the Kentucky game was the game. The game where you kind of sit there and you say, there might not be a turn back for this program. And I got a feeling that I am not even remotely close to being the last person who thinks that or the only person who thinks that. It felt like a game that we're going to look back on and say, yeah, I think that was pretty much the nail in the coffin. Is that, did you get that sense from the rivalry game? Did you start to feel that earlier in the season? Or was this the one that really changed things for you?
Well, okay. There were a lot of different facets to it. I feel like it wasn't just the score. Because I broke it down where I thought that the fan base was sort of 65% they need to move on. And some of that is fueled reactionary and everything like that. It might taper off a little bit as we get away from the rivalry game and maybe a decent bowl win. I don't know. I don't think it's going to change much, but I do think it might. That number might go down. There's still 15%, I want to say. Nick Curran's in that group. Pete Futek joined the take and was in that camp a little bit. Scotty D's in the camp. Pops is in the camp of let the cake bake, give him one more year. I want to say there's still about 15 to 20% of the fan base that are like that. And then there's a lot like me who are right in the middle, who aren't really sure which way to go with it. But I will say one thing that I do think was glaring was the way they lost. It was a real reflection of something that people have been consistently critical of, and that was the fact of their recruiting and the fact that they just don't have people that can compete with SEC-style play. It looked like a JV team against the varsity team. That's basically what it looked like. But the thing to me that this was the major red flag was that throughout the year, it has been a yo-yo year, up and down, up and down. I mean, I've made promos for Maven and Rummage and Pops and everybody, and it's been like 1 week it's like... He's the worst coach ever, you know, like the program, you know, the product on the field isn't working. The next week it was like, hey, it's getting on the rails. You can see market improvement. I mean, and it was back and forth and back and forth all year. But one thing that was consistent and the people that were pro Satterfield that could really entrench themselves was the fact that, look, this wasn't the Petrino year. The guys hadn't given up. They were still, you know, running to the ball on every play. And there were a couple things to be critical of. The play call. Not being able to finish off Clemson when you're at the, you know, first and goal. Certain things that definitely you could be critical of, but they were more so of the coaching and the preparation, not the players. However, in the UK game, you saw them for the first time, I think, all season completely roll over and give up. And that was the part where it was like, oh, man. And then you couple that with the fact one of your best young prospects, who's also a local kid, Jordan Watkins, enters the transfer portal. There's certain people. I think it was, and Patty, forgive me if I'm saying it wrong, but I think it was Caleb Chandler, I'm sorry, joined Patty Ice on Inside the Program, and you know, he kind of made it sound like, yeah, okay, that's, you know, we support Jordan and his decision, but you know, we're not all in that same mindset, so maybe that'll kind of calm people down, that it's not going to be just a rash of people, you know, mass exodus, if you will. But I do think that it was, we went from DEFCON 3 to what we were all year to like DEFCON 4 or 5, with the fact that just the kids seem to pack it in.
I think DEFCON 1 is the bad one and DEFCON 5 is the least. But I understand.
This is why I don't handle national security. Thank you, Drew.
This is why you do not handle national security, and that's why I don't either.
Everybody, look, freak out. We're at code blue. Nick, that's good. Oh, crap. Never mind.
No, I mean, I'm with you, man. I think, you know, there were people who were pleasantly surprised. I mean, the Central Florida game was like this, just this crazy frenetic game that ended the way it did, and people were kind of buzzing. You turn around, you lose the game after that. It's not the greatest feeling in the world for Louisville football, but I think when people started to really start to punt on this team is you lose those two games that they should have won. The Virginia game, the Clemson game. It's just not you can't leave those matzo balls hanging there. They didn't get it done. And when you go into a rivalry game, people were starting to get confident, started to notice more and more of my friends who are Louisville fans starting to chirp a little bit more after a couple blowout victories of Syracuse and Duke, starting to score some points, starting to feel like they're being a little bit more consistent, and then to turn around and lose the way they did. I don't know how you come back from that. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure that it matters who they played necessarily. I just think that it doesn't help that it was Kentucky. I mean, that certainly doesn't help when so much of this city and the state views everything through the rivalry to the point where someone can make a comment about one team or the other in a nice way and you're immediately accused of being a homer, or in the opposite way and you're immediately accused of being a hater. There's really no in between. in this whole conversation. But the way that they lost, it was the way that they lost. And the effort and just the body language. I mean, it's just everything is off. And, I mean, it it's such a far cry from season number one where everyone is like, oh, the culture has gotten so much better. People are having fun again. They won a bunch of games. They played well against Notre Dame early in the season. I mean, there was a good vibe going. And I feel for any coach who had to, and players, obviously, but anybody who had to try to perform at their peak through COVID, through especially the 2020 part of COVID, because this is still very much a thing in 2021. But I feel for people who kind of had their momentum taken away from them, or it was just a difficult thing for people to deal with, obviously, only in the context of sports here. Obviously, it's a much bigger deal than just sports. But you come back and you play the way you did towards the end of this season in a game like that, and it's just kind of like, look, you know, we can give you that context as much as you want, but this is not trending in the right direction. And you have to wonder, it's not good enough, and it's not trending in the right direction. When do you cut your losses? When do you have the window to find someone who will do a better job while also knowing that this, you've got to stop the bleeding before it gets bad? And I think that's where Louisville is right now.
Yeah,
and the question is, is there a window for, I think everybody thinks it's Jeff Brohm, if they can. Is the window open this time? We don't know. I guess we're going to find out. I know we've talked about the buyout changing.
Drew pointed that out. Yeah, that's a big factor.
Yeah, I mean, the window may be open much more than it was the previous time. And it may be one of those things where it's like, look, you know, there's a chance that this thing could get going in 3 or 4 years, but we wanted this guy originally. We still want this guy. This guy knows this city, knows this program, and knows people in this region, and will bring some juice back to a program that desperately needs it. Maybe this is your window to do it. And, you know, it just feels like it's all lined up to that. And then I go on to the message boards and stuff, and people are like, well, I'm not really sure what it's going to be. Some people saying, oh, it's going to be, he's going to be retained. I just don't know. I mean, I just don't get a good vibe in either direction. But I can tell you how it feels from the fan base and from what people are talking about, who I know who talk a lot about Louisville football, who are big Louisville football fans. People don't want to go to the games anymore. I mean, it's a real issue right now to try to figure out the malaise in this program. And, you know, it seems like a coaching change might be the only solution to it at this point. It's just kind of an untenable position for Vince Tyree to be in and for Louisville athletics to be in. Because do you come out and support your guy who you hired? Do you cut your losses and make the big move? It's a very difficult position to be in for an administration after only 3 seasons, when one of them's a COVID year. But again, it comes back to that window. Is this the moment that they have to try to capture that opportunity to maybe turn and change course? And Nick, I think it might be.
I'm torn because, look, when push comes to shove, and if people want to call me coach apologist, fine. Okay, deal. Guilty as charged. You know, I mean, I grew up with that, you know, and even though it was a small sample size, I was a young kid in Bellarmine basketball, especially at the time. No offense to them. I mean, they were GLVC, fine Division II program, everything like that. But it's not Power 5 football. I understand that. But I still remember, you know, hearing rumblings and everything like that, even as a little kid. So I'm always sensitive to that. But one thing I do think was, and I truly am torn. I mean, look, you can't listen to Maven and Rummage and run their show and not think that maybe it's time to move on. And they make valid points. They really do. But I do come from the temple of Let the Cake Bake. And on the V show, and it hasn't been 100%. I don't. Pops is very much, I think, in the middle, just like I am as well.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think in that scenario, Nick, I mean, I feel like the football cake is burnt. I think there's no more juiciness to the cake.
I think that's a little fair. I do think that's fair, especially, and it was...
Some people like burnt cake.
Well, it got singed. It definitely got very, one way or another, it was cake flambé this past week against UK. I mean, that was an all systems failure. It could not have been much worse. And I do want to be sensitive to, I know, you know, his father passed away and everything like that. You know, you want to be sensitive to that, but you can also, like Pop, this is what Pop said, and I agree with it. You can have two separate thoughts. That is incredibly tragic, and I don't think, you know, you can hold it against him for what was said in the post-game press conference, because, I mean, quite honestly, he was probably doing a very good job just holding it together. So, but with all that said,
that's fair.
You know, taking away that one bad press conference, there's been other media appearances that haven't been great, that haven't helped the cake baking. Also, though, I don't think you can ignore this, and this was a really good point Eric Crawford brought up when he joined us. He was, I think, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he was coming at it with at the very least, a much more level-headed, non-reactionary take on it. And he said, let's not forget the fact that when he took the job, it was described as a 5-year rebuild. And he's in year 3 with a COVID year. And everyone calm the F down, because the second you say COVID, I want to punch people, because everyone comes running in. Yeah, it happened to everybody. Okay, it did happen to everybody. It hit other programs harder. And if you want to fault the coaching staff for letting that happen, fine. But you can't ignore the fact that it didn't hit U of L football hard, harder than some other programs. And this was also a program that was a Mr. Rebuild, so it probably, you know, they didn't have much wiggle room to begin with. So you're 3 years into what was described as a 5-year rebuild with a COVID year. I feel like if you take a step back, and I'm with all that said, I'm still looking at a cake that is definitely still is smoking. You know, I'm not, at the very least, is going to be a little charred. I do kind of wonder if that grants you a little bit more of, if you can go back and wrap your head around what it was actually like when Petrino left, maybe that gives him just a teeny bit more of a leash. But here's the other thing, and I want to throw this at you. I do think that if they get Jeff Brohm, one thing is for sure, because this track record has spoken for this. Look at with one name, Rondale Moore. He's been able to keep local guys, elite local guys, in-house. He's been able to hold on to them. I do think, you know, that's something that would be a major selling point and get everyone excited. But this idea of bringing in a new coach would really add a bunch of excitement. I don't think that's true. I think one coach, if Brohm comes in, but you have to change the argument. You have to change the argument. It's not, well, if we get someone new, it'll bolster. Look, there's one guy who texts all the freaking time that Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator of the Chiefs, should be the next coach of U of L football. And I do think, you know, wow, you get a guy from the NFL. Sure, that would bolster a little bit of excitement.
But that dude is not coming to Louisville.
Exactly.
I am so sorry.
But
that
even
is, what wishful thinking is that?
I feel the only realistic...
It's a Billy Donovan, come coach Louisville basketball type of text message.
But
like, seriously.
Even with that, I mean, I don't know if that would make the fan base go crazy. The only person that would really, I think, have a major shot in the arm of a new coach here would be Brohm. So change the argument to it. We need a new face. No, you need Brohm. Like, it's Brohm or bust, because otherwise, I think you're just going to be rinsing and repeating with Scott Satterfield again. I mean, with the coaching carousel the way it is right now, and everybody moving everywhere, and I mean, suddenly places like Oklahoma and Notre Dame are getting passed, like, you know, people are leaving those places. I feel like you're not gonna get a top candidate right now with this current litter anyway. So, and the other thing, and I'm throwing a lot at you, but I want to get your thoughts on this. I could play the soundbite. I mean, we're all, it seems like, here in the city, there's a much more positive opinion of Jeff Brohm than maybe there is nationally. And I do think he deserves the accolades he gets. It's fueled also, of course, by the local aspect. But, I mean, Futek was kind of making it sound like, why do you want him that bad? I mean, he's certainly a fine coach. I mean, he was in the discussion for being the new Notre Dame coach. I think he had, 15-1 odds on it or something like that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, he's 500 at, you know, he's 500 at Purdue in his tenure there. Yes, it's a tough Big Ten, but He's still 500.
I think you can be curious about Jeff Brohm's overall track record, but I mean, we're talking about Purdue football. I mean, aside from Drew Brees and was it Sutherland? Was that his star receiver that he had? I mean, I literally could not think of another person who played at Purdue.
Rondell Moore. There you go.
Moore.
There you go. Yeah, that's about.
I mean, it's a really difficult conference to be competitive in as Purdue when you're Purdue. I mean, you're in West Lafayette. Indiana, I mean, you're recruiting Chicago? Well, Northwestern recruits Chicago. Notre Dame recruits Chicago. Wisconsin recruits Chicago. Minnesota, I mean, all these different programs. That is a big battle up there. And IU probably would be the program that, at least in that state, I'm probably going to piss off a lot of people saying that. But, you know, it's a tough state to win in. It's a very difficult conference to win in. And he's had a couple of good seasons there.
And he's had a couple of good wins, too. I will say,
They've beaten ranked opponents.
Yes,
they've had big wins. And I think the biggest thing about it is that Louisville people, and they're not the only people who think this way. A lot of fan bases do. I mean, I am a graduate of a school that is desperate to hire Sean Miller. Every message board that you could possibly click through, every thread, they want Sean Miller at Pitt. And because he's a native son. He's from the area. He went there. He was a star there. That's how people are wired. And I don't blame them. They want one of their own. And you got some of that vibe with Chris Mack when that hire first came on, even though he didn't go to Louisville, obviously, and he's from Cincinnati, there was the connection, the need to connect Christy Mack to the job to make it feel like they were bringing one of their own in as the head coach. And that it's the same with football and to an even higher level with Jeff Brohm for obvious reasons. He was a star. He's from the city. He played there. He knows Louisville football. And I think that's
and also the idea that if he strings together a couple 8-9 win seasons, he's not going to leave for South Carolina. I mean,
right.
No job is safe in college football, but you think you have at least a little bit more, a little bit longer of a leash to keep him here because of the
hometown. Brian Kelly just agreed for $15 million a year or something like that when incentives are included to leave Notre Dame, which is one of the plumbest jobs in college football, for another job. And he had been there for a long time. And you just... There are truly no jobs that are destination jobs, it seems like, outside of Alabama, maybe LSU at this point. But, I mean, coaches leave jobs. And I know that there's a concern about being a stepping stone. I understand all of that. But coaches are going to leave. It's a good thing when coaches get hired at places like Texas from Louisville. That is a step up for any coach. But in terms of money anyway and tradition. But the bottom line is that this is the guy who probably gives you the most stability and the longest term leadership of your program. And I think that's so exciting to people to just not feel like they're constantly worried about did he meet with somebody in a hangar in Bowling Green or whatever that ridiculous story was about South Carolina. So if you're Louisville, maybe you're hoping that Duke kicks the tires on Scott Satterfield. Maybe other jobs open up and maybe it's an amicable splitting of ways. But I really do feel like this might be the window that you've got to just capture the zeitgeist, get Jeff Brohm, and I guarantee you that people will be very excited about that hire, and we will not have people worrying about how many bodies are in the seats and whether or not people are even interested in going to see Louisville play in the fall. But I think if they make an emphatic statement that says, hey, we're sticking with Scott Satterfield, it's going to be a tough sell. There's not going to be a huge crowd for a while, and they're going to have to start winning some games and showing improvement. And I don't know if there's the juice there for that momentum to turn. They had the opportunity this season to kind of turn the vibe around after the whole South Carolina thing, and they did not take advantage of the opportunity. And as a result, here we are. And I just don't think that there's a way back from this for Scott Satterfield. So let's take a quick break here.
I was going to say, we got a lot of good texts here. And, yeah, you know what? I'm going to play this going into break because we need to remind everybody that it is Cram the Van Day. And I mixed
and,
it. I
got
mixed
some people filing in here for the 3 o'clock show. Sweeney is here. Drew's milling around.
Oh, we will get to some text to wrap up the show, everybody, because someone just texted in. Is the text line broke? First off, I think, not to be the grammar hammer here, but I think you meant broken. Yeah, that's the proper.
Well, it's a lot tougher when I'm not looking at the text line.
No, no,
like, I don't have it on my phone or anything.
I'm not. Yeah, I'm not blaming you one bit.
I'm telling the texter.
Yeah, we'll work him in.
Oh, Santa's here.
Santa!
Santa!
Ask him if I've been good this year. Jeff, ask him. Ask him. Ask him.
I will ask him during the break.
Ask him.
I will ask him during the break. Take a break.
No, I'm just kidding. Oh, no, but a texter.
Play your dad's segment.
The texter did say this, and I want to work this in. It'll be a nice way for us to start working in the text a little bit. You did mention that the Take guys are starting to file in. Andy Sweeney's there. But James Strebel will be there as well. Coming up at 3 p.m., and a texter was wondering if James Strebel would be signing autographs. And I really, really wish I had gotten some crappy glossies the way Lachlan McLean
should charge people a dime.
Well, Locke actually had, like, the professional glossies that, you know, he would sign when he was on remote.
No, he did not.
Jeff, he truly did.
He did not.
He did. He admitted as much. No, Jeff.
No.
Jeff, this is fact.
No.
Ask Andy in the break. He will confirm this.
Okay, I will.
But I wish I would have done that for Streebs. Just, you know, printed off some crappy, like, you know, the photo of his, like, teacher's ID or something like that and just handed them out. But I will say this. He texted me on the backdoor channel. And if you make a $25 or more deposit, donation, I mean, to Cram the Van, he will sign any part of your body that you ask.
Strebel said that?
Strebel said that, yeah. No, he definitely said $25
I gotta get
or
out of
more.
Here before anything gets weird.
$25 or more,
oh,
and Strebel will
Don't
sign
want to be a
anything.
Part of that.
Your kid, your forehead, you name it, Strebs will sign it.
There you go. Well, let's take a break. Play the little clip of your dad, and let's finish the show out with some text. Thank you.
Hey, this is Bob Valvano, and today we're raising money for Cram the Van with our friends at Focus, live from Kroger in Stony Brook. Again this year, Focus will be matching the first $5,000 in listener donations to benefit Wayside Christian Mission, the Salvation Army, and St. Vincent de Paul. We have a GoFundMe. Search Cram the Van or go to our website and social media accounts and find the link. You can also call 502-593-5662 or search Venmo at SVDPLOU, SVDPLOU for Venmo. Or come to Kroger in Stony Brook and donate in person. We'll take all the money we raise and let the charity spend it the following Wednesday so they can cram a Sternberg van and truck full of toys and clothes. That's All Day Live from Kroger in Stony Brook with Focus Caffeinated Sparkling Water.
Good afternoon. I'm Nick Valvano, and this SportsCenter update is brought to you by Bear Nose Pizza. Yeah, it's that good. Chris Mackey returned last night in East Lansing for the Cardinal men's game against Michigan State, but it wasn't enough. Cards fell 73-64 to 22-ranked Sparty. A bright spot, though, L. Ellis coming off the bench with 22 postgame. Chris Mack said, yes, the JUCO transfer played well, but it would have been nice if he did it a little sooner in the game.
It's a little bit looser feeling when you're up, you know, when you're down 17 points, getting in there and sort of making things happen. He's got a burst to him. He can score it. Hopefully this game gives him confidence, but we need him when he gets in the lane and nothing's there, not to charge over guys, to be stronger with the ball. And he will. You know, he's 7 games into his college career at this level.
Staying in U of L hoops tonight, number 10 U of L women hosting number 12 Michigan, 7 p.m. You can catch the game KFC Yum Center. Chrissy Banta, Dave Skull, Biggest Biscuit. They'll have post-game coverage as that one goes final over on 93.9 The Ville. To the blue side of things, Coach Cal, he was on one today. We brought that press conference live to you here on the V Show. Coach Cal, he also, in addition to all his theatrics, gave us a health update on his team.
We are so beat up and sick. Thank goodness we're not playing. We've had one with mono, one with strep throat, probably can't give all of it, but you have guys, today's practice will probably have 7 players there and like 2 managers.
The Take with Andy Sweeney and James Strebel coming up at 3. And a reminder, today we're raising money for Cram the Van with our friends at Focus, live from Kroger in Stony Brook. You want to donate? We have a GoFundMe. Search Cram the Van or go to our website and social media accounts to find the link. You can also call 502-593-5662 or search Venmo at SVDPLOU. More V Show next. This is SportsCenter.
We want to know Wednesday. You're listening to The V-Show on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, in for Bob Valvano, it's Jeff Greer.
We're back here finishing up the V-Show out here at the Stony Brook Kroger off Taylorsville Road. And ESPN Louisville and Kroger need your help to cram the van with toys this holiday season, working with Focus Energy Drink as well. Stop by the Stony Brook Kroger between now and 6 p.m. Santa is here. And he is taking your gift requests. We'll have the face painter here in about 10 minutes.
James Strebel will not be painting anyone's face, by the way.
James Strebel will not be painting any faces.
He will be signing autographs with a donation to Cram the Van.
I just feel like
he will not be painting faces.
None of our autographs can be worth anything. I mean, what a disappointing autograph for any of us to be giving people. I mean, that's just really disappointing. But
I'd say you could use it for toilet paper, but I think that that shortage ended a while ago.
Sure. If you do want to make a donation via Venmo, it's SVDPLU, and make sure that it's on the business side of the Venmo app. You can also find the GoFundMe. Just go to the website, GoFundMe.com, and search Cram the Van. And if you want to call in your donation, 593-5662. That's 593-5662. And all proceeds benefit Wayside Christian Mission, Salvation Army, and St. Vincent de Paul, as they will go shopping at Kohl's next Wednesday for Christmas gifts for those in need. A really awesome thing that we do every year with ESPN Louisville, and kudos to Drew and the team for all the work that they have done throughout the day. We're trying to set a new record. I don't know where we are. We'll get an update from Andy Sweeney here, but if you do make a donation, you will be eligible for the signed Kenny Chesney guitar, which has to have broad appeal. Given how many fans, how many teams he's a fan of, you know, surely anybody will be feel like they've got a friend in Kenny Chesney because he roots for their team. So come on by and get your chance to win the signed guitar. Last couple things then before we get going, Nick, is the text line apparently has been chatty today in the last little bit. It's been kind of a crammed show, so I apologize. We haven't gotten to more of the text throughout the course of the show. But what do we got? Do you tee up any good ones here for the final few minutes?
Yeah, we got a couple here. One guy said that he wanted you to pull the plug on me. Well, thanks. Thanks for letting me go as long as I did. That same texter that
I don't
said,
have that opportunity. Like the people always say, you know, you should do that, and I say no, I can't do that. I'm just sitting here with a headset looking at my phone.
Well, I mean, you still could have, you know, just talked over me like that. You know, you could have.
Yeah, that's
one of
true,
things,
but
so.
That's rude, and I like listening to you. So. What else we got?
You're a peach. All right, that same texter though said, in retrospect, I think Vince should have gone with an SEC coordinator who could recruit instead of Scott Satterfield. I do think, I mean, Brohm's recruiting acumen, especially locally here, I think is a, you know, he's got a bit of a track record there, and that is a bit of a selling point. So
it could be, yes.
Let's see here, 437-9680. UPS Jobs text line. In all reality, can Louisville even afford to buy out another coach? I'm sure they're still writing checks to Bobby P. Look, $8.3 million.
I think they're done with that one.
Well,
I think they're done with Petrino's payout.
From what I've heard, you know, from the guys around the station and everything, $8.3 million, which is what the total buyout I think would be for, you know, Brohm and Satterfield. That's the price tag for Brohm coming here. It's nothing to sneeze at, but is still.
You can afford it.
Yeah,
that
I think.
Will happen. Trust me.
I think the money is taken care of. This other guy said, when I was a young coach's kid. Nice. That was a good little Disney reference there. That was pretty good. Let's see here. Two reasons people want Brohm. He's a Schnellenberger disciple, number one. And number two, he played with broken finger in some games. He's tough. This program needs a little toughness. I mean, we all have we've all played it, the classic XFL quote, you know, is there a pulse in my body? Let's play football. So, yeah, I mean, that is also a bit of his brand as well. Let's see here, 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. This guy clamoring for a Strebel autographed. This guy says, Sat's been here 4 years. This was the third time we played UK because they didn't play in the COVID year. I have to go back and look and see what his overall record is.
God, I mean, that COVID year has messed everyone's brains up. Is that right? Yeah, 2018.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's fair. So, okay. So, but he's in year four of what was set as a 5-year rebuild with a COVID year. So, it's still
problematic. It's not going well.
No, it's not.
It's trending in the wrong direction.
It's not, but he hasn't, you know, it's also one of those things. It's like if they tell you to bake the cake for 4 hours at 150 degrees and you've been cooking it 120 degrees for, you know, 3.5 hours, the cake might not be completely baked yet, but it could also still be on fire. I mean, those are
I think it's on fire. My friend. Yeah. I think they forgot to put sugar in the cake.
Well, you can cover a lot of things with icing, and that would have been what the UK victory was. But then the icing turned out to be mayonnaise, and not even I would eat that.
Oh, God.
Let's see here.
What else we got?
437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Thank you guys for doing Cram the Van. Love that you guys do this every year. It's my favorite
Super
day of
cool.
the year to listen. So thank you very much. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Let's see here. I've switched. I'd rather catch process in the streets than Ents now. That's okay. Not in the spirit of the holidays. And if you beat up either one of them, you'd have to deal with me. And I suggest you marinate on that. A little bit of a Letterkenny reference there. I don't plan on beating anybody up. And his year three, Brahms record is 18-18. This guy says, we want an Olympics. Yes, I hit the wrong button there. Sorry about that. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. This is a good one to end on. What if Brom has all the local players and is under 500 after 3 years? The Western division of the Big Ten is weaker, and Purdue is just not winning in it. Closing thoughts on that one. That's a fair one.
I don't know if I agree with that. Do you agree with that? I mean, I don't know if I agree with that. ACC is weak, man.
It is. But...
The ACC is weak. I don't agree with that.
But if it doesn't work with Brom, I mean, who does U of L go with from there? And I'm not saying it's not going to. I'm just saying that...
Yeah, I think that's one of those things you worry about later. And in the meantime, you try to capture the zeitgeist and see if you can get the juice back in your program and see if you can get it rolling. It might be worth the risk. That's a V Show. Coming up next, we got the take.
We are so beat up and sick. Thank goodness we're not playing.
Hey, this is Bob Valvano, and today we're raising money for Cram the Van with our friends at Focus, live from Kroger in Stony Brook. Again this year, Focus will be matching the first $5,000 in listener donations to benefit Wayside Christian Mission, the Salvation Army, and St. Vincent de Paul. We have a GoFundMe. Search Cram the Van or go to our website and social media accounts and find the link. You can also call 502-593-5662 or search Venmo at SVDPLOU, SVDPLOU for Venmo. Or come to Kroger in Stony Brook and donate in person. We'll take all the money we raise and let the charity spend it the following Wednesday so they can cram a Sternberg van and truck full of toys and clothes. That's All Day Live from Kroger in Stony Brook with Focus Caffeinated Sparkling Water.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
CardNation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.